Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Fightin' Words on the Fightin' Words Sports Network. Fightin' Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children 6 or older and the treatment of adults. If you're having any problems with life, please see a professional. This is a time of year when there's a lot of depression. If you see your neighbor isn't feeling well or doesn't seem to be responding, see if you can help them out. If they can't help them out, please help them seek the help of a professional. Well, Ty, it was a heck of a week last week.
Oh, my God, we got a tremendous fight. First of all, Butch, it's good to be back on with you. Hope all has been well. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing good. Doing real good, thank you.
Good, good, good. Good. I think
we have a new addition
to our... I'm sorry?
Go ahead. I was just going to say we have a new addition to our crowd, and that's Ty Anthony is now the engineer in charge.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know what I said, you can never lose with a tie, my friend. You can never
lose
with a tie.
That's right.
I think we should start the show with sending our prayers and well wishes out to Adonis Stevenson and his family. As I'm sure everyone knows, Adonis suffered a severe traumatic brain injury in his fight against Alexander Vashchek. It was a hell of a fight. Unfortunately, it was marred by tragic circumstances at the end.
Yeah, the last I saw, he was in a medically induced coma to try and stop the swelling of the brain. And we really wished the family well, especially this time of year. It's, they don't need this on top of everything else. But it was just a freak accident in the ring. I'm glad you brought that up because that was on my list, but I didn't get that. That's way down there. But that was that fight was a tremendous fight.
It was.
Last weekend had great fights. Go ahead.
Oh, it was a hell of a fight weekend, wasn't it? You know, like I said, unfortunately, you know, Adonis's injury, he unfortunately marred what was a terrific fight between he and Vashchek. Vashchek proved that he's that level. We knew Vashchek had the skills. You know, he's part of that Ukrainian dream team that has given us Lomachenko, who fights tonight, as well as Usyk, who cleaned up the cruiserweight division and just recently rendered Tony Bellew unconscious. So we knew that Vashchek had the skills. What we didn't know is if he had the experience and the intangibles to go ahead and beat someone of Adonis Stevenson's caliber. What he also proved is he has a hell of a chin, too, because Adonis did land his punch, and Vashchek buckled. But, you know, he held on and was able to, you know, finagle his way through. And by the end of that round, he was putting it on Adonis Stevenson. And to me, one of the most pertinent instructions that were given in that fight was when after that round, the 10th round, where Vashchek was hit with that good punch, and then he came back and started putting on Adonis towards the end of the round. He came back to his corner, and Teddy Atlas said, "You need to start this next round exactly like you finished the last one." And that's what Vashchek did, which ultimately led to the conclusion. Tremendous fight. Like I said, you know, again, unfortunate circumstances at the end, but still a tremendous fight by both men.
They just seemed to be, there was not, I was looking at it, I was trying to figure out which way it was going to go, and then, the accident happened, so, but it was, you couldn't ask for a better technical fight than what you saw there, unless you talked about
it. Yeah, that's one thing, about Vashchek and Lomachenko and Usyk. They bring a tremendous amount of technique and fundamentals to the ring every time they step in. And that's why these guys are being fast-tracked and getting title shots, at 12 and 10 and 13 fights.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Fury fight, but I want to wait till
that's why I haven't mentioned it either. Plus, I think the Alexander Usyk Adonis Stevenson outside of the tragedy kind of got lost in the amidst the Fury Wilder fight and controversy. That was a tremendous fight, but at the same time, because of the tragedy, I don't think anyone's really thought much about what was really a tremendous fight by both men, and both men have to be praised for putting their all on the line, literally. But like you said, it was a tremendous fight. Both men showed a lot of grit and determination. Usyk is, you look at the light heavyweight division, and obviously Adonis is retired. So you look at, we have Usyk and we have better, Beterbiev, and we have what's the kid's name who just fought on HBO, the one they're hyped on, Bivol. Not to mention Eli Alvarez and Sergey Kovalev rematching in the early part of the year. So. That light heavyweight division is still a bit muddled. No clear-cut number one, no ring champion. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out within the next year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna give him a call. And last week I called him three different times, and
right.
He got a new phone. He didn't know how to turn it
off. Oh boy, there it is.
Oh god, another Chris story. Climb online here. Did you see the Jared Hurd fight?
Oh, yeah, I caught a bit of it.
Chris?
It was only four rounds. I didn't catch much of it.
Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Frank.
Oh, okay.
Hey,
you guys were calling
Chris.
Late. I thought you would call earlier. That's fine. I'm sitting here watching TV. Just finished working out.
How you doing, Dr. Chris?
Well, you know what? I had a good day today. Got a lot of work done. Made some money today. You know?
There you
That's
go.
Always a good thing.
And
yep.
In spite of this freezing weather. But it was not bad today.
Yeah.
It was not bad. I worked outside for an hour. It wasn't bad. So what are you guys
up
to?
Yeah, I was out there for about an hour, too.
Yeah, that's enough.
We were just talking about the Adonis Stevens fight.
I didn't see that. Is it tonight?
No, it was last week. Adonis Stevens.
It was. I missed it.
He got knocked out and is in a medically induced coma because of a brain injury during the fight.
Wow. Who did he fight?
A tremendous fight.
He fought Oleksandr Usyk. Not Usyk, I'm sorry. Oleksandr Vashchik, who was part of that Ukrainian dream team that has produced Lomachenko and Alexander Usyk as well. He's the guy they call the nail.
Okay. I looked all through the TV last week. I didn't see it on TV.
Yeah, I don't know what if it was on Fox Sports 1 maybe at 8, but it came on early. It came on at like 7:45.
Oh, that's why I missed it.
It led the pay-per-view in. It walked into the pay-per-view, so.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's sad.
You know, but it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get in that light heavyweight class. They hit awful hard, man. You know?
All those guys can punch, especially,
Oof.
You know, Alexander Vashchik is, you know, he's a high knockout ratio. And he caught Adonis Stevenson with a salvo at the end. And so, you know, that happens in the sport, unfortunately, occasionally.
Damn shame. You know, the guy was ready to bow out anyway. Shame he had to go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it too long. That's too. He was 41?
Yeah, 40
I
or
believe
41.
So, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's too old to be in a ring. I knew somebody was going to get hurt. That's a damn shame. You know what, guys? My TV went on a bum on me last week when we're trying to get the pay-per-view on.
Fury fight?
Yeah. So I only saw one round of it the next day. So I'm going to watch it tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, it's on again at 9. But I had a friend who had it a mile away from me. He didn't even call me. I said, you bum,
wow.
I had you over here with my TV work. He got knocked right on his back in this one round near the end of the fight, and you thought he was out taking a nap. And all of a sudden, he jumps up.
Yeah.
No, he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's crazy. You don't know where the hell he's coming from. Left, right, you have no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I think if Wilder, you know, just moved in and started swinging, I don't know how the hell Fury could get away from him. I mean, I didn't see the rest of the fight, but I'm anxious to see it tonight. But we'll see.
Yeah, I'm glad you get to watch it. Really curious to hear what you think of it.
Yeah, Teddy Atlas came on after the fight, and he gave some comments that he thought it should have gone, going the way of the big guy. And not
right
because the other guy did win a couple of rounds outright with a knockdown, but he thought the other guy won enough rounds still to want to fight. And then, you know, a lot of people felt that way, but I want to say it for myself. I sit down with a pencil and paper, and I write the rounds down myself, and then I add them up. And sometimes I'm surprised at it confuses me even when I rule my own fight. I go, what the hell? How did I come up with this? You know? I don't know.
Hey guys, we're joined by Zito. Z, how you doing tonight?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
We're all waiting for your comments.
Dr. Chris did not get a chance to see the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight outside of one round where he saw a knockdown, and I'm not even going to tell him which round that was since he hasn't seen it yet.
Near the end of the fight, I saw the one TV station put it on the next day. One TV, they didn't even put the results on that late that night. They didn't even put the results on. Not one program. I went to every channel, and none of them said who won the fight on ESPN on through. For a bigger fight as it was, you would think they would, you know, have a lot of comment on it or something, even though it was pay-per-view. I didn't say a damn word. I thought, boy, you know.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the fact that it was pay-per-view. From what I read, the numbers are trending up towards around 350,000, which would be solid for that pay-per-view. So that's a good thing. You know, obviously we all prefer free boxing, but it's always good when we get more eyes on boxing. And then we get a little drama and controversy, which always sells a second fight, which, you know, hopefully it will account for more eyes. So, you know, if boxing's doing well, the more fans we get, the better.
You mean that's all they grossed on pay-per-view? 350,000?
People that were watching it.
That's actually pretty good numbers on pay-per-view for the Wilder Fury fight. Only like if you think about it, like Canelo's last couple fights on pay-per-view, not including the Triple G fight, were right around just like 500,000. If it's not a big fight with a big mega star. If you get 500,000, that's great. 300,000, like for instance, Lemieux and Gennady Golovkin, when they were on pay-per-view, they did maybe 100,000. Terrence Crawford, when he was on pay-per-view with Victor Postol, they did less than 100,000. So, you know, you have draws that unless they're really matched with big draws, they don't do. The numbers pay-per-view, the million, points on pay-per-view that Floyd Mayweather was bringing in does not exist like that anymore right now in boxing. You only get that if you get Gennady Golovkin against Canelo Alvarez, because Canelo himself will bring in around 500. Then you get somebody like Gennady with him, well, that's to make a fight.
Wow.
Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, that's why they said would be the second biggest fight this year, because there's no other that would draw 300,000. So they got 350,000, which is probably, honestly, is probably about maybe close to 200,000, I would imagine, more than what they were expecting. I think they were forecasting it to be around 150,000. So they did pretty well.
Hell, the TV stations will pay that much for it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, to get the show on. I hope pay-per-view's over with. It sounds like it's going that way. Fans are getting mad at it. Won't subscribe to it anymore. That's good. I hope the hell they do away with it.
350,000, with for the salaries of a Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder is a lot different than even a million with the salary of a Floyd Mayweather or a Canelo Alvarez. Too, those guys aren't getting as much money, as much of the pie. And the other thing too is obviously boxing is going a streaming route, right? But here's part of – okay, so here's my apprehension with the streaming route. You pay for the services. That's cool. It's a lot cheaper, right? So you'll get, for a DAZN streaming service, you'll get 10 Canelo fights for the price of one pay-per-view, right? And we know basically all of his fights have been on pay-per-view. However, here's the problem to me with that. When you get a guaranteed contract, any athlete, basketball, football, baseball, we kind of know what happens sometimes. Sometimes, you know, you got a guaranteed 5-year contract. You kind of milk it a little bit sometimes. It's just saying. So a lot of times if you give somebody like a Canelo this, you know, ginormous contract over 11 fights, what's the incentive of him to necessarily take on the toughest challenges? I'm just saying, not saying that he won't do it because he's proven to be a dog who will take on tough challenges. But just as these guys sign contracts, we know that's what's happened to a certain extent with some of the PBC guys. Peter Quillen has openly admitted that he got paid basically to sit on the sideline, to not fight. So when you get guaranteed contracts, and we know the fight business is the hurt game, and you have a short shelf life, and we all know what just happened to Adonis Stevenson. So even though a lot of these guys want greatness, you know, a big part of it is securing their financial future. So if you sign a contract that essentially secures your financial future, what is the incentive to putting your health at continual risk? You know what I mean? If you got 11 fights, why should 10 of them be grueling? Why not just have one grueling fight for every 5 soft touches, so to speak? You know, not that any fight's soft, but that's so even though it's good that we're losing the pay-per-view, because see, the reason why a lot of fights were on pay-per-view is because that's the only way you could get to, you know, certain fighters to fight with the amounts you have to pay them. Vic Postel, Terrence Crawford, we know should have never been a pay-per-view, but the salary that these guys wanted, that was the only way they could get the fight to happen. So we know that that's why that model exists. So even though we like the streaming model, I still, like I said, I see that aspect of it, that guys could sign contracts for 4 or 5 fights, but where's the incentive for them to necessarily take the best fights? So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that surprises me. I thought, Grace, when Tyson fought Buster Douglas, the pay-per-view was huge, in the millions.
Yeah.
That fight drew around the world in the millions. You know, I just find it hard to believe a lousy for a heavyweight title fight, a lousy $350,000. Jeez, that surprised the hell out of me.
Neither one, even though it's the heavyweight championship of the world, neither one has transcended the sport the way, obviously, a Mike Tyson or Floyd Mayweather did. So unless you've transcended the sport, like Canelo doesn't get $1 million. You know what I mean? He has to have a great dance partner like a Gennady Golovkin to get $1 million. Unless you transcend the sport, you don't do that. Pacquiao was doing that. There was a point where, you know, he could get $1 million. With, you know, or close to $1 million, if not $1 million, shared the ring with them. But yeah, those days are kind of over. There's a lot of free boxing on. Transcended stars aren't there. A guy like Tyson Fury has the charisma. And, you know, that Deontay Wilder fight, you know, like I said, did pretty well. A fight like that could start to push him towards that way. But, you know, he's got to be consistent and be in the ring. And I think Tyson Fury, as great of a challenge as Deontay Wilder was, and especially getting up from the knockdown that you saw, Dr. Chris, I think perhaps the greater challenge can be how he responds to his moral victory lap from the results of the fight. You know, like you were saying, Dr. Chris, a lot of people thought he won. He performed extremely well, feels really good about himself. Well, you know, we know some of the mental illnesses he's been diagnosed with and some of the demons he struggled with. And this is at a point where, you know, it could be a little tough to get those juices flowing again to get, you know, in the mental state, not let alone the physical state, but the mental state that he was in. So he has to make sure he doesn't, you know, celebrate too much during this little victory lap he has. So I think that could be the greatest challenge, that the same Tyson Fury who fought Deontay Wilder shows back up in the ring, whomever he fights, whenever he fights.
Well, I turn the TV on.
Just doesn't have a transcended star right now.
I turn the TV on. I'm watching Lomachenko and Linares. How much did Lomachenko get to sign with a TV station?
Linares. His deal is with Top Rank, and Top Rank is putting the fights on ESPN. So his deal is with Top Rank, not necessarily ESPN, I believe. Whereas, you know, Canelo signed a deal personally with the streaming service. Think about this. Remember, man, this was talked about for a while. Remember when Roy Jones had that exclusive contract with HBO and everybody was complaining that he wasn't fighting anybody because there was no incentive to necessarily? The same thing had kind of happened with Andre Berto. You know, these guys get these exclusive contracts with these networks, and then there wasn't really an incentive to necessarily, and I'm not saying that that's what happened, but that's the story. That's the story that's told, that there really was no incentive for him to fight some of the top guys out there. And you could look at the string of guys he fought at one point on HBO, and you were wondering how come he wasn't fighting certain people. Well, he didn't necessarily have to. He was getting paid either way.
Yeah, he fought some dogs. Roy Jones fought some bad fighters.
Yeah, that's the kind of the weakness of these, you know, contracts with the streaming services. It doesn't necessarily incentivize because you get paid either way now, no matter who you fight. Canelo will now not make any more money for fighting me than he would for fighting Triple G. He's already got his guaranteed salary. You know what I mean? So that's the one thing.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about prize fighting is the greater the fight, the greater the prize. But if you kind of eliminate the greater the prize, then what's the incentive of taking the greater the fight outside of searching for greatness?
Well, nothing surprises me with boxing anymore. You know, a lot of bad people, and they're all vying for their the like you know that De La Hoya, they're kind of like mortal enemies with Top Rank with the other ones. They don't want to. They're tough customers, boy. Nobody's tougher in the sport than Bob Arum. And De La Hoya's getting tough, too.
And you know what else, Dr. Chris? With Canelo signing with DAZN, for instance, Triple G right now is being courted by the DAZN streaming network. He's being courted by ESPN, who would offer him the greatest viewership. And he's being courted by PBC, who probably will offer him the best contract as far as money. So now here's the thing. DAZN, if he signs with DAZN, well, he's on the same network. He can fight Canelo. If he signs with ESPN, which would give him more viewership, or PBC, which would probably give him more money, then that Canelo fight's pretty much off the table because they would be exclusive to the network. So even though, you know, like I said, it's brighter days for boxing. We're getting more boxing. Until networks as well make it very easy to work together, we still have the same roadblocks. Networks will work together when it is financially viable for everyone involved, but that's only for a huge fight. That's not for, you know, the everyday competitive fight. That's why we haven't seen, at this point, Terrence Crawford against Errol Spence. I don't think that fight needs to happen yet anyway because both need to be more. But anyway, but that's why no matter how much the public demands that fight can't happen until it's enough money for the networks to be willing to work together. It's still a problem. And it's not even, you know, necessarily the promoters now. It's the networks as well as the promoters. So, yeah, promoters won't work together. The networks won't work together as well. So.
Well, I've seen Lomachenko fight rerun two times already. So when a TV station gets it, they got the reruns, and they eat up an hour. That's big for them, the reruns. You know, the promotion.
You know he fights
for the rerun.
Right, Dr. Chris?
What's that?
You know Lomachenko fights tonight.
Well, I've been watching him fight Linares on TV.
Yeah, tonight he fights Jorge Pedraza on ESPN.
Okay. Well, he just fought not too long ago, Linares, who gave him a tough fight.
Right. And he dislocated.
Linares is a big lightweight.
And he dislocated his shoulder in that fight, and he's had shoulder surgery, so this would be his first fight since the surgery.
Wow.
That guy's
big, man. Go ahead. Pedraza, what title does he hold?
Well, none now. Lomachenko. Oh, Pedraza. He beat Beltran, but I don't know what belt
Beltran
was for.
Yeah.
That was for a vacant belt, I believe. But he Because what it was is, you know, Beltran was, you know, one of top ranks pet projects, essentially. And so they were grooming Beltran to fight Lomachenko in a unifier. And Beltran ended up losing to Pedraza. So Pedraza's getting this fight. But I'm not sure what
Beltran. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I saw that fight. Well, against Linares, being so big and having great reach, a big upper body, he's much stronger than Lomachenko. He landed a couple of good right hands, man, flush on the face. And then, but he got knocked out by that one body shot, which really surprised me. I didn't think Lomachenko had that in him. And of course, he looked like Triple G hitting to the body, you know? And Linares went down. He's a tough guy. He couldn't move. You know, he got up and got hammered some more. But it'll be interesting to see this. What's Pedraza weigh?
Fighting at 130. Both have come up recently from 126. I'm sorry, no, forgive me. They're fighting at 135. Both have come up recently from 130. So even though, let me say, to quickly speak on Jorge Linares. So he's taller and longer than Lomachenko, and he's broad in his shoulders. He really is. And, you know, I think he's the guy who can carry, you know, he's moved up to 140, and I think he looked good. He carries that weight well. But Linares himself has come up from 126. And historically, Linares, for as skilled as he is, he gets touched a little bit more than you would think a fighter of his technique and caliber should. And he's never been the most resilient guy. Like, once you start to beat on him, you usually get him, you know, in his bigger fights. Once you started to touch on him, you get him out of there. It's just that he offensively is such a dynamic boxer. Wasn't actually surprised that Linares was stopped by Lomachenko. I was surprised during the fight he got stopped by Lomachenko. Going into the fight, I kind of thought he would get stopped by Lomachenko. But what happened was I found him much more competitive and doggedly tough in that fight than I thought he was going to show going in, quite honestly. Pedraza, I don't think – you know what? Lomachenko himself said he expects it to be like the Mariaga fight. Mariaga is another guy who quit, you know, in the middle of the round. So,
I'll be interesting. I love to watch Lomachenko. I love to watch him move side to side around you. He's got you turning and moving all the time. I mean, you don't know what the hell he's going to do. He's like Fury. You don't know what Fury's going to do. What's he going to do? Jab? Throw the right jab out or the left jab? I mean, I watched him 24/7 where they had him in training. I couldn't figure out what the hell he was going to do. What's this guy going to do? What's going to be his game plan for the night? I don't think he has one. Just, you know, and Freddie Roach is trying to train him. And Freddie Roach looks like a midget training a full-grown man. And he's punching down with them mitts. I don't know how the hell Freddie Roach, he doesn't come in till the end. That other guy trains him with those things that women dive in the pool with. Those soft rods that they use, you know. That's what he trains Fury with. He bangs him on the hands with those things. I don't understand how trainers invent all this stuff. Well, how do you train
go ahead. You know, I've been kind of, I'm not going to say high, but, you know, I've been a backer of Fury for a little bit, actually. And, you know, I always thought he was going to beat Klitschko. I didn't think he'd beat him the way he did, but I always thought he would beat him. I just saw that. You know, Fury, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, Fury's got a lot of Muhammad Ali in him, man. You know, it's funny his name is Tyson because if you think about it, he's freaking batshit crazy like Muhammad Ali, you know? And he's another one who, you know, he's an outboxer like Ali, And if you get inside, he'll clinch you up. But he faints a lot. And he doesn't always turn his punches over because he's just trying to touch you. He's just trying to touch you. And you know what? And Zito and I, when we were watching the fight, and he got up from that knockdown that you saw. First of all, he didn't get up from a knockdown. That is completely understated. He came to and got up from being knocked out. He was knocked out. He was out. He was absolutely – he was out. The right knocked him unconscious. Zito, I tell you, when he got hit with the left hook, his eyes were already gone, completely gone. He got knocked out. It looked like – it literally looked like God touched his chest and revived him, and he woke up. He was out. And I told Zito, I said, for whatever reason, that reminded me of when Muhammad Ali got up from that Joe Frazier knockdown. And that
first left hook to Joe anyway.
That left hook, yeah. You know, and I thought he had. I thought there was a time later in the fight, like in the next round, I thought Ali was hurt even worse. But it was just something eerily reminiscent to me about just the way he got up from that knockdown. You know, it was Joe's money punch. And when Ali got up from that knockdown, you kind of knew no matter how bad Joe hurt him, he wouldn't be able to keep him down. And I'm not saying that if they Tyson Wilder and Deontay, you know, if they fought again, Fury and Wilder, I'm not saying Wilder wouldn't knock him out. But that night when Tyson Fury got up, there was nobody in heavyweight history who was going to knock that man out. That was just – that's just one of those things. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's just different. Something different. It's just that
crazy. He looked like he was taking a nap.
WBC.
Yeah, he looked like he was ready for an hour nap, and next thing you know, he jumps up. Go ahead,
exactly.
Frank. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying the WBC has already ordered a rematch that they're mandatory for each other. I know that was Fury wanted to go for Joshua. Go ahead.
Well, you know what that's about. That's absolutely about securing the rights to the rematch and literally getting the mandatory out the way. Because if not, then you know, Deontay Wilder would have to go fight whoever the WBC mandatory is. I think it might be Dillian Whyte, who's probably looking to fight Joshua. So it could be maybe a Dominic Brazil. Obviously, the money for the WBC, the larger the fight, the more the sanctioning fee they get would be in the rematch between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, given the controversial nature of the fight, of the ending, of the conclusion. It's a no-brainer. So they had to do that just to, you know, to enforce their own rules so that way the mandatory can be pushed aside so this rematch could happen.
I think it will happen. I think Tyson Fury, I think it will happen. I think they're both going to agree. It'd be a good fight, and, you know, I think both of them think they can win. You know,
yeah,
and that's going to be a hell of a fight, and a lot of people will be watching it this time because that guy's a character. He's a gypsy. I never knew he was a gypsy. I said
and
I didn't think
what?
They had
the
any. I didn't think they had any gypsies in Ireland.
Yeah. Well, the knockdown and the way he got up is just in the drama, in the controversy. I mean, it sells the fight, and then both guys are bombastic personalities. And you know what? You know what was cool too is both guys genuinely not like they genuinely love one another. Like it's Zito, I tell you, they absolutely love one another. It's amazing.
Well, the pre-fight hype wasn't well, you know, nobody was trying to act bad, you know, act nasty.
Yeah, you know what? Competitive, extremely competitive men. But
yeah.
As people, they've said on more than one occasion, I love Tyson Fury. I love this man. I love Deontay Wilder. They constantly say it, like to the point where it's like, are you guys, maybe you dating? What the hell? Like, we know already.
That's unusual. That's very unusual. He is a character, that guy. He's a character to watch in the gym. I mean, I watched 24/7 three times. That 1 week, and every night was entertaining. Every night was entertaining, you know. I get a kick out of Freddie Roach training him. You know, how the hell do you
How the hell are you holding mitts for a guy 6'9"? You know?
Well, you get Wilder to hold a mitts for him. You get a guy 6'7".
Yeah.
I don't think Deontay Wilder wants a rematch. I don't think, well, he wants one, but I don't think he would be really successful, really nearly as successful as he was in this past fight. And just as far as that goes, as far as the past fight goes, the one they just fought, I personally think Deontay edged it out. And I read a lot of comments about the people, and I heard a lot of viewpoints on why people thought Fury won. And, I agreed with some. But in another token, it's how people view the fight. It's how people view the fighters.
Yeah,
you have one guy who looks good in his form and everything. He's kind of beautiful in his form and his boxing science at certain times. Clumsy, but he has a certain beauty to him. And then you have another guy who wings it at times, who's wild, whose form is all over the place. But it all comes down to effectiveness. I don't care if the guy looks good. If he's less effective than a guy winging around the place, then he lost the round. It's as simple as that. I mean, you could dance in the guy's mitten, but if you're really not hitting the guy and the guy lands a few shots, well, then he won the round. You didn't do anything. And a lot of people, they give rounds to Fury off of the look, off of, oh, well, he made him miss and all of that. Okay, that's good, but what did he do? I mean, you can make a guy miss, but he's doing the work. And if he's landing shots, you know, every now and again, and you're not landing anything, he's winning the rounds. So I think a lot of people get wrapped up in the form and just the movements, what they think boxing, you know, should be. And to be honest, it's a fight. When it's all said and done, it's a fight. Whoever hits who more or harder, or, you know, whoever is more effective, then
And you know what, Z? And the funny thing is, it's not even a fight. It's actually 12 fights. It really is.
Yeah,
it's 12 fights. It's not one fight. It's 12 fights. And so they're scored on a round-by-round basis. So no matter how well a guy may be outboxing a guy in round one, if that same guy is not throwing any punches in round two, he still loses that round. So it just, you know, they're each 12 individual fights. That's how they're scored. And what it comes down to from a scoring perspective is with happened with the knockdown, if Deontay Wilder, if you think he won five rounds, then you got a draw. I mean, that's all he needed to secure a draw, five rounds because of the knockdown. If you think he won six rounds, then you think he edged the fight out. It's that simple from a scoring perspective. So you have to score each round individually. So even though a fight has a narrative, just like, you know, anything with a conclusion has its own narrative, each round is still scored individually. What happens a lot of times is us as an audience, what we do is rounds where nothing kind of happens, which usually are the first couple rounds given the nature and magnitude of fights or the, you know, nature of fighters. So you get the first three or four swing rounds, as people like to call them, where not much happens. There's not much to give and take. What people tend to like to do is then when the fight starts to settle down, we kind of retroactively go back and assign those rounds where there wasn't much to give and take to the guy that's kind of doing better now. And that kind of tends to happen. You know, there's that carryover effect to a certain extent. Judges can't do that. They can't go back and say, you know what, I kind of think maybe because this guy's doing better now, he won round one, two, and three. You know, it's kind of, if you're watching the round and not much is going on, and then you come back and there are three rounds like that, and you're like, well, there's no way that guy won. Well, you know, look at the rounds where there was not much going on. You know, maybe he edged that round. Just because a certain guy in Fury to box brilliantly, and the boxing he was boxing brilliantly from round one, but he started to become more effectively in certain spots, doesn't mean he was effective when he was boxing brilliantly and Deontay was boxing clumsily but landed punches. You know, so that kind of happens. People get caught up in the narrative of the fight, forgetting that it's 12 individual fights is actually how it's scored.
And then judging, I mean, not judging as far as the judges go, but as, I mean, the judges, they have their own set of guidelines they have to go through separate from everyone else. As far as everyone else viewing and judging, you have a lot of favorable hearts to where a lot of people, a lot of guys, you know, they could do anything in the ring. And as far as like Canelo and Triple G, you hear a lot of things that don't make that you don't understand. Triple G won this round, that round, that round. When you go back and look, obviously he didn't win those rounds. And you have a lot of favorable hearts when it comes down to that. With Deontay Wilder, he I think he did the best he could in that fight, fighting Fury, against Fury. Why don't I think that he would be successful in the rematch? He fought Tyson Fury after Tyson Fury had a two-year layoff and fought two limited competition fights, and Fury performed like that. Tyson Fury, I mean, he's going to do nothing but get sharper. If he's committed, which I believe he is, he's now committed, he's going to do nothing but get sharper. Two-year, two-limited competition fight layoff. And he just seen Deontay Wilder style and survive. So I can see him getting a lot sharper before I can see Deontay getting better with the timing. Deontay's going to be Deontay, but his key is the timing and just really kind of getting to the mark. And he had problems all fight long doing that. Did it a few times, but I just don't see him being able to do that again. I don't see him being able to do as good as he did against a Tyson Fury that's going to be sharper next time and that has seen his stuff.
Psychologically, when you give a guy your best shot and he jumps back like it was nothing, that takes a lot out of you. You say, "What the hell? I have to go 12 rounds again. I'm going to have to change my game plan. I'm not going to be as aggressive. I might not have anything left in the late rounds, and the guy will kick my butt." So it does something to you psychologically when a guy takes your best shots. And I hit a guy one time in Lloyd, fighting in Lloyd Field. And when he fell, he went backwards and his feet came up in the air. Mm. And when I went by him with my right hand, he tripped me and I fell down on the floor. He jumped up and punched me in the back of the head before I got up. I just hit this guy my hardest right hand I could throw, and he socked me in the back of the head inside of 2 seconds. I said, "Man, this kid's tough." You know, it kind of affects you. You know, and he's like, "Damn, I just gave him my best shot. He took it like nothing." And that's what I think Tyson Fury might benefit a little bit of that, because the guy went 12 rounds and really didn't have him put away, couldn't put him away. You know, that, and for a puncher, he might change his whole game plan next time. You never know. You never know.
You know,
psychologically.
Deontay believes it was a long count, which I'm not even going to get into that. But during the fight, you could see the expression on his face. It was actually pretty funny seeing the expression on his face when Tyson Fury got up. I don't think that's something that anyone's considered. And I think you're the first person in everything I've read to raise that point that, you know, from a mentality standpoint, you know, maybe it takes a little something out of Deontay Wilder. But I already hear him talking about, he thinks it was a long count. And the one thing that needs to be said, and Deontay Wilder is absolutely right when he said this, and we have to credit Jack Reese for delivering a 10 count, because I'd say 9 times out of 10, when a guy gets hit like that and goes like that, the referee just waves the fight off. He doesn't even count the 10. Mm-hmm. So, more times, it's very rare do you see somebody get counted out. Think about this. When you see knockouts at this point in juncture in time, how often do you see someone get a full 10 count? When they get knocked out, the ref waves it off. So the fact that Jack Reese didn't wave it off when Tyson Fury was clearly dead is you know, I mean, credit to him. Credit to him because, you know, so – there's a part of Deontay Wilder's mind, I'm sure, because, you know, fighters justify why they lose. They justify certain things. It's how they keep their confidence. Well, the first thing he's saying is it's a long count. But he's also said, you know what, most of the time that gets waved off anyway, and he's absolutely right. So I think he's already started to try to mentally justify why that fight was continued. You know what I mean? Because everything, I don't know about the law, Cal, but
I think the best thing for that fight was a draw. You know?
I'm glad it was a draw. I absolutely agree, yeah. And
I really think
when it was called a draw, Dr. Chris, I was like, yeah, I'm cool with that. Yeah, that seems about right.
I wasn't upset with it. I thought, you know what? I didn't watch the whole fight, but from watching, talking to other guys that did watch it, they were all satisfied it was a draw, you know? So, I'm anxious to see it. It's coming on at 9 o'clock up here. That's what the TV said. It's going to come on an hour before the Lomachenko fight. So, what's that? It's 8:20
now. Yeah, when thinking about a rematch, my initial thought was, I lean towards Deontay. Then talking to Zito, I was like, I lean towards Tyson Fury. I'm still kind of meh on that because, while I do agree with, absolutely agree with Zito, that during the fight, you saw Tyson Fury working his way back into top-notch form. But at the same time, there's a part of me that thinks he boxed out of his skin, and there's a part of me that thinks he came with a mental edge that I don't know if he can replicate. Like the performance he had against Deontay Wilder was better than the performance he had against Klitschko. He neutered Klitschko early, and Klitschko never took him through anything. He had to be on point for 36 minutes of the fight, and the couple times he wasn't, he paid for that. So I don't know. As much as he, started to get to Deontay a little bit, and as bad as he made Deontay miss, and as much as he made Deontay look clumsy, Deontay needed a big round. He went and got that knockdown, man. That dude is fierce. And for as bad as he was made to look for stretches of the fight, one thing he has to know in his heart is, I just got to get there. Once I get there, the fight changes every single time. If I land my shot, it's a problem. And so Tyson Fury, again, has to get himself mentally ready, first of all, to get up from a knockdown like the one he suffered. But beyond that, to walk that tightrope again so he doesn't get knocked down. So even if he takes Deontay Wilder, were to knock Deontay Wilder out in six, that's six rounds of tightrope walking he has to walk, absolutely concuss him and practically kill him with one blow because I saw the man do it. So I don't know. It's 50-50. I think Tyson's figured him out. He could be better, but I think he could be worse too. That's part of the issue too. Because why? Tyson Fury hasn't shown that kind of elite-level consistency that's part of being a great fighter. You need that, too. You can't show up every 3 years and put on a performance of your life. What happens in between? So we'll see. We'll see, man.
We'll see if he's got another one in him. He's got a lot of good people
he's
around
him. Going to take another one. Whether if he finished Deontay Wilder early or late, or whatever, he has to step into the ring like that to deal with that guy. Because for as bad as Deontay's boxing is, his athleticism, his heart, and his fire, and his power is real, real dangerous.
Yeah, he'll always have that. He'll always have his power, that's for sure. He's a guy that, the fight's never over for 12 rounds. The 12th round is when it's over with him. If you're still on your feet, but he can take you out any round, any time,
And he gets more people out late because it takes him a while to find the mark. So you do not have to question if this guy has power late going into the fight. That's usually when he finds the mark. And once he finds the mark, well, we know what happens.
Yeah, I remember when Reuben Carter fought Joey Girardello. Yeah, when Hurricane fought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, a gang of guys sent me all the comments from all the newspapers, because the newspapers kind of judged fights in those days.
Yeah.
The Associated Press had
newspaper
a 9-6. Yeah, newspaper decision. 9-6 in favor of Judge. And then I was thinking about the comment that Reuben Carter said. He said, well, you know, when you fight Girardello, nobody ever knocks him out because he got a hell of a chin. So I had to pace myself and be careful because I didn't want to run out of gas against him, you know? And then, I mean, years later, Girardello did have an iron jaw. And like the Associated Press had a 9-6. Even Carter didn't dispute the decision. I think the TV, to make it a better movie, I mean, I'm sorry, I think in order to make it a better movie, they changed that a little bit. But Girardello gave him a shot. Nobody really wanted to fight him. Girardello gave him a shot at the title. And there wasn't any controversy right after the fight. There were 6 newspapers that I had the columns, you know, the boxing columns. Not one of them gave the fight to Carter. And then Carter, when they questioned him, he said, well, you know, I got to pace myself. I had to be a little careful. Nobody ever knocks this guy out. You don't want to run out of gas in the 15th round and have nothing left. So he said, if I didn't get him by such a round, I kind of was coasting. So it does, you know, maybe that's, you know, what will happen next time. You know, when you think about it, is Dante Wilder going to try to save his stamina and then coast a little bit? Because, you know, it's hard to knock Fury out. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about that.
Funny little story about that, Dr. Chris, me being a movie guy, is that that whole thing with the Girardello and Carter fighting, that it wasn't a controversial decision, that actually scuttled the Oscar talk for Denzel Washington in that movie. They were talking about Oscar, and then that came out, and it was, you know how Hollywood is. It was a controversy that kind of scuttled, you know, any awards talk for the movie, because the big thing was, nah, that fight was never controversial at all. Even Reuben Carter never thought it was controversial. He lost pretty
quickly. No, Reuben didn't think it was controversial. Right,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, and that kind of, because they thought the movie was so good and the performance, then they were like, well, that didn't happen. You know, so it really kind of,
well,
and even though movies can take narrative license, that just really scuttled awards talk.
Made a better
movie
out of it, yeah, doing that. But
yeah.
when in later years, when Tex Cobb won that case over against Time Warner, and he got awarded $11 million, Girardello read that in the paper. Geez, this guy got, you know. So he went to Texas lawyer and said, do you think I got a chance suing? You know, they badmouthed me over there. You know, said they badmouthed Girardello unmercifully in the papers, you know, after the movie came out. So he said, let's see. Let's try to sue him. So they did. They sued Time Warner. You know what? Time Warner settled out of court. They said, we don't want anything in the papers. You know, he's our number one draw. He's a great movie star. We're not, this is peanuts. You know, so they gave him a couple. Girardello got a couple of million bucks and went home happily ever after. He got paid.
Yeah.
I couldn't find out what the hell amount of money. The lawyer wouldn't tell me. They're not allowed to tell. He said, but let me tell you this. I paid for my entire staff for 3 years with the money I got from that fight. And he said, and I got a lot of lawyers on my staff. You know, he said, so I did well. Joey did well. And they said it was peanuts to Time Warner. They're a 500, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporation. They just didn't want to have anything said bad about their star, you know. And rightly so. He is a great actor. He's a very good actor. So
yeah,
and he's had a great career since
that
fight.
Killed that movie. Killed that movie. Yeah. It absolutely killed that movie. And that's what happens, you know. You take dramatic license with somebody's life. You can't just do that without their permission.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to portray you this way, but I'm not going to tell you. No, that doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So, good for Joey.
Guys, we're up against the...
Yeah, he died with some money in his pocket.
It's better than living okay. being with no money in your pocket. So.
Yeah, and he had a mentally challenged son. It was pretty bad. His only son was really mentally challenged. So he had some money put aside for him. You know.
Oh, that's good.
He set up a fund. Yeah, Joey's boy was, mentally not right, and then he had a nice, you know. I met Joey about 6 months before he died, and I was talking to him, and I said, Joey, you did well. And he put a big smile. Man, did he smile! I said, you did pretty good with that. So and then he got out a big smile. That's all he would do. He wouldn't say a word. He just laughed. Yeah, I did okay. He goes. I got everything. He's like, my life's in good order right now. He had just had a heart attack or a second heart attack. And he didn't look good that night. I knew he wasn't going to be around much longer. You know, just looking at him. So that was a damn shame. But,
guys,
it's a
time limit here. So they're going to be cutting us off shortly.
All right, Frank.
Really enjoying myself tonight.
It was a good conversation tonight. All right, I'll see you guys next week, I guess.
Yes,
you know,
Dr.
I have more to talk about. All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Take care,
Bye.
Chris. Z, you didn't have a whole lot to say tonight, but you want to lead us out?
I sure do. I apologize for being late. definitely a good show. I want to thank you guys, Todd Butch, and the rest of my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. If anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Always a great show with you guys, Butch, Dr. Chris, Zito. These shows, like you said, Bob is our co-pilot, Mel the mentor. We always thank and remember. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. Take care.
Great. Well, I wanted to thank my technical assistant, Ty Anthony, and for getting us on the air while I was on the road. Back at the station now, but I also want to say thank you to you guys. Each week you do such a fantastic job, and I don't know how we could have done any better anywhere in this world that they would find a better program than what we put out. I really appreciate everything. Appreciate the friendship, the love between the families, and fun I had, used to have with your dad, whether it was coaching or reffing. He was a person who was above reproach and just a great guy to be around. These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please acknowledge them. These are very tough times, both domestically and in foreign times, foreign lands, I'm sorry, for people in uniform, especially this time of year where the guys and girls that are away from their families, it's very tough on them. So if you could keep a good thought for that, we'd appreciate it. If you have a chance to send a candy bar, socks, or hankies to a serviceman, please do it. These programs are also dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcott, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anafa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longwood County Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Godwin, Charlotte County, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Germain, Wilmington, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Carpet Springs Police Department, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Cotlock, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Ballard, Kissimmee Police Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the hollow of his hand. Good night and God bless.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ahezah yilama, son ashen evorat fet hakuig again ma yilama.
Responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.